We received the urgent call that Georgie was missing. No one knew where he was, so my mother and I jumped in the car and we took off to my sister's house. And there we arrive and we see that everyone's searching for Georgie. He's my little nephew. And it's before we had cell phones, so we decided that we would just meet at the house at a certain time to see if anyone had found him and coordinate what was going on. And we get back to the house and everybody comes in and there's no Georgie. And we look out and everyone's looking all around, so we started praying again and like, where's Georgie? And my little niece says, Mommy, what time is it? My sister looks at her like, why are you asking what time it is? Well, what time is it? She said, it's 10 minutes to 6. Oh, don't worry, Georgie will be home in 10 minutes. She says, what are you talking about? She says, we eat dinner every day at 6 o'clock. Georgie's not going to miss a meal. And sure enough, on clockwork, 6 o'clock comes around, and here comes Georgie strolling in the house like he doesn't have a care in the world. He has solved all the problems of the universe, and he's just as happy as he can be. And he comes in, and everyone runs up to him, and they hug him, and they grab him. And my sister's checking him to see if he's bruised anywhere, if everything's okay. And he's like, what are y'all making all this fuss? What's going on? What's going on? I said, man, we thought something was wrong. We've been out looking for you. He says, yeah. And Brian, I saw you when you climbed in the dumpster. And Mom, I saw you looking up under the cars. And my sister said, what do you mean you saw? He says, yeah, I saw everything. And so my mother realized that he has pulled a fast one. And she gets my sister because her eyes are flaming red now. And she has steam coming out of her ears. And she pulls her back. She says, where were you? He says, oh, I was up under the window behind the bush the whole time watching all of you all. My mother said, what? What were you doing? He said, well, you know, I just needed some chill time. 7 years old, and he's decided the complexities of life are so great that he needs some chill. Well, my sister gave him some chill time, by the way. Yeah. But we laugh at a seven-year-old who thinks that they need some chill time. But I'm sure that we as adults from time to time wish that we also had some chill time. Which brings me to my text. The Bible says, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then I would what? Fly away and be at rest. Won't you pray with me? Father God, we thank you now for your word. We thank you for your blessings. And we ask that you will give us just what we need for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. For the next few moments, I just want to preach from the subject, I'm getting out of here, looking for a better place. Jason, ask Mike if he'll put it on the screen in the back for me as well. David was not looking heavenward but earthward when his plea for wings flew from his lips. He spoke not by the light of a heavenly vision, but by the dark unrest of his earthly outlook. You see, David didn't see Pluto, Jupiter, and Mars. He didn't see stars. No, David saw trouble, heartache, and pain. David saw a life filled with struggle. I wonder if there are any Davids in the house this morning. Just wonder if there's anybody who understands where David's coming from, what he was talking about this morning. You see, because David is concerned with departure, not destination. David doesn't worry about where he's going. He's just trying to get away from where he is. Perhaps you have heard the saying, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. You may have heard someone say, well, you know, any place is better than this place. That's departure, not destination. You see, when the ideal of escaping, of fleeing, of flying away suggests itself as a possible solution to life's problems, we soon begin to think about it. You see, because it is not the desire for the joys of heaven, rather it is an attempt to escape the pains of earth. David said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and be at rest. You see, in life, we all have been at that point. We all have been there at one time or another. And if we are honest with ourselves, right here this morning, right here in this place, at this instant, some of us just want to fly away. We just want to escape our problems. We just want to be at peace and get away and have some chill time. Yes, we've all been there, surrounded by the enemies, knees buckling beneath the burden, heart palpitating like a frightened deer, sweat pouring over our brow. We've all been crushed by the pain. We've all been overwhelmed by the impossibilities. We've all at times been afraid of the obvious. You know, we jump when the phone rings and we're scared to see the mailman when he comes because he may be bringing bills or bad news. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away. You see, for David, it is not aspiration, rather it is evasion. It is not the response to the actual, rather it is not the response to the ideal, it is the recalling from the actual. David wants to get away from it all. No man faces life as it should be faced, and some hardly face it at all. But when we begin to think of flying away, of fleeing away, of escaping our burdens, we soon begin to make some kind of attempt. Remember, my friends, our bodies follow our minds. So how do we do it? Are you ready? Here's how we do it. We do it by excessive indulgences. Anybody ever just want to get away? You see, because when the reality of life sets in, there are those who escape to the comfort of Jack Daniels or the joy of a Cuban cigar or just the easy flight of the opioids. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong crowd. I'm sorry. I forgot I was at Azure. I know that you good Adventists in good and regular standing would never indulge in these vices. However, we will indulge in the acceptable Christian sin, the sin of gluttony. We will escape to a gluttonous meal or we'll go into a vegetative state in front of the couch or a marathon sleeping episode or we'll go to a non-budgeted shopping spree. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would just fly away. You see, the solution to life for them is flight, not fight. It is to get away. It is not a retreat. Of course, we know that there is no going back. We know that there is no deliverance from the burden of the battle. But in the thick of any fight, there's a marked difference between the man who wants victory and the one who wants it to stop. There's a difference between the man who's trying to win and the one who's just waiting for the bell. There's a marked difference between those people. But you must remember that the only way we become a prisoner to our problems is to give up, is to give out, is to give in, is to throw in the towel. So I'll just stop by this afternoon to tell you, don't be like that, but be like Sir Andrew Barton, who while defending a Scottish ship was shot by an arrow, and he said to his shipmates, "I'm hurt, but not slain. I'm hurt, but not slain. I'll lay me down and bleed a while, but I'll get up and fight again." And we have to get back up and fight again because the battle is half won when we face the enemy and look him right in the eye. Let me tell you something else you already know. You know this. This too shall pass. You already know that the storm is passing over, that there's a better day coming after a while. When we lived in Dayton, Ohio, I rode in a cycling group and we would ride probably 200 miles a week. And on our short ride, we would ride out maybe 25, 30 miles out to a little town. And we had gotten out to Verona and we stopped to get our water and kind of regroup. And as we were standing, one of the guys looked over his shoulder. He says, "Look, there's a terrible storm coming. We need to get out of here." So we got on our bikes and we started pedaling and we were out, you know, 10, 12, 14, 15, 18, 20, 22 miles an hour. You ever tried to outrun a storm? And there we are out trying. We're trying our best to outrun the storm. And we got up to about 25 miles an hour or so. And we looked up and the leader had pulled over to the side of the road. So we pulled over and asked him, "You know, is everything okay? You know, did you have a flat tire or something wrong?" He says, no, just look over your shoulder and you'll see why I pulled over." And we looked over and we could see that there was a break in the clouds, that just beyond the storm, it was clear daylight. He says, "We're just going to sit here for a minute and we're going to let the storm pass on by." There are some times in life you just have to ride the storm out. Sometimes in life you just have to sit back and wait for the storm to pass you over, that you look for the break in the clouds because you know that something better is coming along. So there are times when someone asks you how I'm doing, be honest with them. Don't give them that good Adventist saying where, you know, we say, "I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, happy Sabbath. Oh, I'm too blessed to be stressed." No, you're not. You're stressed. Tell them, "I'm hurt, but not slain. I'm hurt, but not slain. You see, now when someone tells you this, you must give them a ray of light. You have to give them some encouragement. You have to give them something positive so that they can change their perspective and their outlook on life. So when they begin to look for the break in the clouds, that they can say, I'm in the storm, but the storm is passing over. It's kind of rough right now, but I'm moving on. And when someone asks you how you're doing and you tell them I'm hurt but not slain, or if you've been listening to some people's problems and they've given you no ray of light, you ever done that? All they gave you was the doom and the gloom. There was one of the kids who have adopted us used to call me all the time, and she would call and she'd just be whining. This was wrong, and that was wrong, and this was wrong, and that was wrong, and the other thing was wrong, and the other thing was wrong, and I'd never heard her give anything positive. I said, okay, you got 2 more minutes. And she would whine for 2 more minutes. I said, okay, good. I said, now, how are we going to fix it? She said, what do you mean? I said, I have heard all of your complaints. Now let me hear some solutions. Every now and then, you got to stop people and wake them up. Okay, I got it. I've cried with you. Now let's wipe our tears. We got to get up and fight. It's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be slain. But you have to get back in the battle. You have to begin to go back again. You see, David tried to change his situation by changing his location. And some of us try to escape the burden of a raging conscience. But it is useless to take wings of pleasure to fly away from a violated conscience. It's useless to take wings of pleasure to fly away from a violated conscience. Well, you can escape your situation, but you can never escape yourself. Because, you know, we will pack all that baggage up with us and we take it along with us wherever we're going. But it is when you have the peace of God that helps you to deal with the pain, when you have the peace of God, it will help you deal with the pain so that you try to escape some of the reality. The peace of God can take you from where you are to where you should be. But the question has to be asked, why wings of a dove? Why not an eagle? You know, eagles are some majestic beings. They're fabulous beings. They have huge wingspans, and eagles do some strange things. They will fly into the storm and get just above the storm and allow the storm to carry them along. One person has said that an eagle can flap its wings one time and catch the current and ride it for 25 miles. Eagles, they're majestic, they're huge, they're fast, they're swift. But a dove, you know doves, they're just this little calm, meek, little tranquil, peaceful bird. Why wings of a dove? Well, when you're in turbulent times, you don't need speed. You need calmness. You need peace. You need tranquility. You need a moment of chill time. Because if you have no peace, you will have a hard time dealing with your problems. As the wise man once told me, he said, "No God, no peace." But if you know God, you will know peace. Well, we've all had problems and difficulties, and we've all had some storms that were in our lives. And sometimes it looks like the storms just keep coming and they don't go away. But here's the thing that we must remember. God never promised that we wouldn't have storms. But he did promise that he would always give us raincoats. He did say that I'll give you something to help you make it through the storm, through the difficult times in your life, through the struggle. He said it like this. He said, I will give you perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed on me. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, when the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, with it, you can be in a turmoil and not turbulent. You can be in a storm and not raging. You can be in a tempest and not tempestuous. You can be in a calamity and not hopeless when you have the peace of God with you. Now, we laugh at Jesse. We laugh at Jesse Jackson all the time with his keep hope alive. But Jesse had it right. He had it right because when you have no hope, then you begin to die, because hope is what keeps us alive and keeps us going. That's why we have to focus on Christ and not the crisis, on Christ and not the crisis, on the solution and not the problem, on the solution, right, and not the problem. David put it this way, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. So if you ever see me walking around this area and I'm just looking up at the mountains, then you know I'm looking for my help to come. Y'all missed that. It'll come to you. When you get in trouble and you find, when you get in trouble, you're going to do this. Watch. When something goes wrong in your life, you're going to find yourself outside just looking up at the hills. I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. That's how David put it. The soldier said, I'm hurt, but not slain. Paul said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. The songwriter put it this way. The songwriter said, trouble, heartache, and pain will soon be over. Tear-stained eyes and mournful cries will soon be over, and we'll shout hallelujah by and by. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day when it'll be over by and by. There's something about a shout. You see, a shout will deliver you. A shout will set you free. A shout will fix you right up. All you need is just one good shout to kind of clear out the mess in your life. Because sometimes you just need to shout. Sometimes you just need to let it go and let it out. Because sometimes when you're in the storm and the storm has passed over, you can shout. When you find an uncloudy day, you can shout. When he makes it to a better day, you can shout. When Jesus wipes all the tears from your eyes, you ought to shout. When there is no more pain, no more death, no more sorrow, it's a good time to shout. When the dead in Christ are raised first, you really should shout. But guess what? When we meet them in the air, there should be a double shout. When we are saved by our word and by the testimony of his word, we should shout. When we become one of the these or they, that's a good time to shout. When we are changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that calls for a shout. When we see Jesus just as he is, holy and righteous, we ought to shout. But you know, y'all don't have to help me shout, because when I see Jesus, I'm going to shout amen. Amen. Because guess what? All my troubles are over. I'm going to say amen. Because I don't need wings like a dove. Because I have Jesus, and that's enough for me.
Take care of you. stand up and sing together.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take.
Look to the Lord in benediction. Now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob dismiss us from this place, but never from his presence. May love, mercy, and peace rest, rule, abide with each of us now, henceforth, and forevermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.